We're holding on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. We know that a nazir is also in three different groups of things: wine and anything that comes from grapes. We learned earlier in the parak, and haircuts and tumah. And now our Mishnah is going to talk about the differences between them. The Mishnah says shlosha minin asurin b'nazir. There are three kinds of things that a nazir is also to do. Atoma, becoming tominess, vatiglachas, cutting his hair, vayotzim and agefin, and anything that comes out of the grapevine. So now, we're gonna see that there's a difference between each one of them has a unique chumra that the other two do not have. Chumra b'tumo vatiglachas and vayotzim and agefin, each one has a kula that the other two don't have. So there's a chumra in tuma and in haircuts, more than things that come out of the grapevine. Because if a nazir becomes tomei, or if a nazir gets his hair cut, he loses some of the time of his nazirus. So if he becomes tomei, then, as we've learned before, then he loses, according to the different opinions, and depending on the different circumstances, he may lose all of his nazirus up until that point. Like you have the story of Yomi Hamalka earlier in Al-Masechta with her 7 years nazirus. She may only lose 30 days, according to Rabbi Eliezer. If it was after Malois, if it was after the completion of the time of the Nazirus, then you lose only 30 days, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, only 7 days. Listen instead of haircuts that we're talking about right now as far as Tumah. Oh. And Nazir becomes Tumah, then they're going to lose some part of their Nazirus, maybe even all of it. And haircuts also, yeah, as you said, Listim and other such examples, if the Nazir cut his hair, then we're saying he's losing time. We learned before, according to the Rambam, he always loses 30 days, and according to Tosfos, he loses enough time to be able to have a 30-day growth of hair. Meaning that we said, for example, according to Tosfos, if at the point when they shaved him, there was still 30 days left of his Nazirus, then he's not going to lose anything, because by the time at the end of his Nazirus, he'll still have 30 days growth of hair, whereas the Rambam learns that even then he's going to have 30 days extra because of that haircut. So Tumah and Tiglachas have that in common, that he loses time. But if he eats or drinks things that come from the grapevine, he doesn't lose the previous days. We learned before Drabbanan, we say that he should keep a number of days equal to the days that he was careless with. So for example, if for the first 10 days of his Nazirus he was drinking wine, then now at the end we're going to make him keep an extra 10 days before he brings his Korbanos. But that Midaraisa, at least, you don't really have that concept. He's not really losing anything. If he were to bring his Korbanos at the end of the 30 days, he would still be Yotze.
Even though it says not supposed to eat.
He's not allowed to eat the things from the grapevine. If he does, and if they give him Masra, he's getting Malchus. But he doesn't lose days of his Nazirus because of that.
So what does...
That's what he said. Only
the haircuts.
Haircuts and tantrum. Yeah. Next. On the other hand, there's a chumra in things from the grapevine that you don't have in tumah and tiglachas. There are no exceptions to the issur of things that come from the grapevine. Meaning, in other words, so now we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and the Gemara is going to bring over here the limud, that a nazir is also in yein mitzvah, just like yein harishus. So even wine, that's a mitzvah. Now, there are a couple of examples of wine of a mitzvah. One of them is, suppose he had previously made a neder or shvur that he's going to drink wine. So therefore, now he has a mitzvah to fulfill his shvur and drink wine. However, now that he took on nazirus, then that overrides that, and therefore he can't do that. What about kiddush and havdalah? Now, see, you actually have a machlokas rishonim whether a nazir is allowed to drink the wine of kiddush and havdalah. The Mefarish over here, and at the beginning of the Masechta, learns that actually he could, that actually he could drink wine of Kiddush and Havdalah. However, the Mefarish says that's not called Huta Mikloloi. It means, in other words, to begin with, Nizirus was never Chal on that because it's Mushba V'Omin Mehar Sinai. The person has already been sworn from Har Sinai to do those mitzvahs. So it's one thing, in other words, when he himself takes on a Shavua, he's not Mushba V'Omin Mehar Sinai on this wine. He's just, he himself took on a Shavua on it. But when Kiddush and Abdullah, the Mefarish learns that in fact he would in fact be Mutter to drink. But it's not considered an exception, because it just means that Nazirus is never chal on that in the first place. On the other hand, the Rambam and other Rishonim learn that not. He is, in fact, also in wine of Kiddush and Abdallah as well, because even if we use Kiddush is Minat Torah. Kiddush is Minat Torah. Havdalah maybe also. But drinking wine by them is not necessarily Minat Torah. Yes, that can be only Drabbanan. First of all, you can hear from somebody else. But second of all, the very fact of drinking wine on them may only be Drabbanan. Daraisi may be Yotze Kiddush just with words and Havdalah. So there's no basis for him to be able to drink wine. So according to the Rambam, there's no basis for him to be able to drink wine for that. So in that case, we can really say that there is no exception. He's completely off great products for those 30 days with no exceptions. On the other hand, the tumah b'tiglachas utru miklolon. On the other hand, when it comes to tumah and when it comes to haircuts, there are exceptions when a nazir does those, namely b'tiglachas mitzvah over mes mitzvah. Namely, you have the case where it's a mitzvah for him to shave, and namely when he has tzaras. When he has tzaras, then there's a mitzvah for him to shave, and also as far as a mes mitzvah, which we touched on yesterday, and we're going to talk about in more detail at the beginning of the next parak. So then he does those things, even though he's a nazir.
This is a mitzvah to have a haircut.
No, mess mitzvah, the mitzvah for him to bury the mess, you know.
Right, but because of that.
Yeah, so therefore, so that's an exception to the rule. So even though normally a nazir is not allowed to become tameh, but here he does. And as far as tiglachas, now there are really two kinds of tiglachas that you have to talk about when we talk about the haircuts of a mitzvah. You have when a person has a nesek, the pasuk describes in Parshas Tazria, a person has a suspected spot of tzaras in a hairy area of his body, on his hair and on his head or on his beard. So then the kohen has to shave that, and a nesek by definition the hair falls out. That's the word nesek, comes from a word that means fall out. So now we have to check whether the tzaras is spreading, and for that purpose the kohen shaves an area around the nesek, and then we see if it grew. And then you have the tiglachas that takes place at the end when he finally is healed from his tzaras, where then he has to shave all the hair on his body. So there's actually an explanation from one of the Mefarshim that we have to be, if we're talking about the shaving at the end of the tzaras, you can't really call that hutra, it's really more dechuya. You have esse dechaloisese, the esse of shaving at the end of the tzaras overrides the loisese of a nazir not shaving his hair. So you can't really call that an exception to the rule. Rather, we have to be talking about the mitzvah, we have to be talking about the tiglachas that takes place when there's a nesek that we shave around that. Anyway, so that would be an exception to the rule that you have a heter over there that you have by tiklachas, and then you have a heter that you have by chuma, which you do not have when it comes to grapes and grape products. Then continues the Mishnah, v'chomer b'tumah b'tiklachas. Then you have a chumra in tumah over shaving. Because if the nazir becomes tameh, then he loses all the days that he had until now. This is according to Chachamim. He said according to the Yezra, many times he only loses 30 days. But anyway, the chayoven alei korban, and he's going to have to bring a korban if he becomes tameh. The tiglachas eino seseres el shloshim, haircutting maximum is sos of 30 days. Even if according to the Rambam always 30 days, and according to Tosfos maximum of 30 days. You haven't allowed a korban, and the person does not bring a korban if that happened, whether he shaved himself, whether robbers shaved him, etc. There's no korban involved over there. So we see that each of these three things has a chumrah and a kula relative to the other ones. So now,
that's why we have to mention
each one. But now, actually, the Gemara is going to go through and say why indeed don't we say, why don't we use kavachomers or mamatzinos to say that the dinim that apply to one of them apply to the others as well. For example, the same way as we say that tuma causes him to lose the days of his nazirus, maybe we should say that eating grapes or getting a haircut makes him lose all the days. Why taka not? We're going to go through all the various permutations. So the Gemara starts off, the tumah like tuta miklala, why shouldn't we say that tumah is never mutter, that we don't make the exception and say that a nazir can become tamei for a mes mitzvah? We would say kavachomer miyayin. We would make a kavachomer based on the issur of wine. Or my yayin chain is soiser, madach wine, which does not make him lose any days, as we said in the Mishnah, loy huta miklala, and we're saying that there's no exception. That again, according to the Mefarish, fine, you can drink wine of Kiddush and Abdallah, but that's not considered Bucha Miklaloi, because to begin with, it's not included in the Isser. And according to the Rambam, it's absolute. So tumah shasei seres, tumah being stronger than wine because it makes him lose the days of his nazirus. Ein din shalai tuta miklala. Shouldn't it be a kavachoymer that it's not mutter miklala and there should be no exception whatsoever? A nazir cannot become tumah even for a mes mitzvah. How do we know that not? Tamen loymer. Therefore, the answer is the pasuk says that the nazir lo aviv lo imay lo yitama. It says he should not become tumah for his father or his mother. And that means la'aviv la'ima la'yitama al netama hu l'mes mitzvah. So we learn from that. Now, once the pasuk says al nefesh meis la'yave that he should not become tamei, why does the following pasuk need to mention his various relatives la'aviv la'ima la'och la'achosay? So we learn from that those relatives he's not allowed to become tamei for, but yes, for a mes mitzvah. So we see the pasuk is clearly telling us then that he does become tamei for a mes mitzvah and not to do that kalachay. Okay.
This is
a nazir we're talking about. The same dinim applies to a kohen gadol, but a kohen gadol not also in wine, but the fact that an avivim also applies to a kohen gadol. Yes, at the beginning of the next parak, in fact, we're going to start talking about what happens if a kohen gadol and a nazir are walking down the road and they see a mes mitzvah, which one of them should become tamei. So yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, so fine. So now that we know that, well, then let's do the other way around. Well, then in that case, maybe we should say that wine, there should be exceptions to the rule, just the opposite. Make a kavachomer from tuma. Ma tuma, she says, seres futur mitola. Ma dech tuma, which makes him lose his days. We just established that there is an exception to the rule, namely mes mitzvah. Yayin chain is so any dinsha yutur mitola. So wine doesn't make him lose his days of nazirus so far. So maybe then, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that there should be exceptions? Namely, again, at least the case where he made a shvua to drink wine, that he should now be allowed to drink wine. Maybe even, according to the Rambam, also Kiddush and Havdalah. So now, this would be the flip side of the previous kavachomer. Before we started, right, we didn't know that we have a pasuk that tells us that he becomes tamei for a mes mitzvah. Now that we know there's such a pasuk, then we should flip around the kavachomer and say that wine, like tuma, should have an exception. So in addition, yayin chain associate, in addition, you have to recall it. The answer is no. Omar Krumi, Yayin the Sheikh of Yazir. No, because the pasuk spells out, it says from wine and strong wine, he has to separate himself, meaning Lesu, Yayin Mitzvah, Kiyayin Rishus. That comes to teach us that wine of Mitzvah, for example, because of a Shavua, is just as much also as wine of Rishus. So again, yes, we have a clear pasuk telling us, don't try to do that Kavachomer. I'm telling you that there's no exceptions to wine. Okay. So now let's try another Kavachomer between wine and Tumah. Well then, now that we establish that tuma is in a way weaker than wine, because tuma there's an exception and wine there is not. So now let's try to make a kavachomer and say that drinking wine should cause him to lose his days of nazirus. Kavachomer mituma. We should be able to make a kavachomer from tuma. Ma tuma shohutra miklala. Madach tuma, which is more lenient in that there's an exception to it for a mes mitzvah, so seres sakol, and yet it ruins everything, and he has to start his nazirus over again. Yayin shaloi hutra miklolai, wine which is not hutra miklolai, because we're saying there's no exception to it, loy koshikin to yister, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that causes him to lose all his days of nazirus? The answer is no. Omar Kura, because the pasuk says, "Vayomim rishonim yiplu ki tomei nizrei." The pasuk says the Uriah days will fall away because his nizirus, because the crown of his nizirus became tomei, implying tuma seiseres the ena yayin soso. Only tuma causes him to lose the days; wine does not. So again, you have that wording in the pasuk that implies that even though you might have thought to make that kavachomer, don't do that. Because in fact, we're not going to do that. Tumah, it's true, is more lenient than wine in one way, in that there's an exception, but it's more stringent than wine in a different way, in that tumah is so and wine is not.
So the nazir.
Okay, it's fine. So now we've gone through all the possible ones as far as between wine and tumah. So we've established then that wine and tumah each one has a chumra over the other one. There's no exception to wine, but tumah makes them lose days. Okay, now let's try about tiglachs, about shaving. We said in the Mishnah that shaving his hair first of all, we said there is an exception to it by Mitzora. And second of all, we said that it doesn't actually necessarily make him lose days. Or to the extent it doesn't make him lose his whole Nezirus. Even according to the Rambam, it's always 30 days, but never more than that. According to Tosfos, it may make that he never loses any days at all if there's more than 30 days left from the shaving until the Nezirus. So now let's work that out. Why shouldn't we say that shaving should make him lose all the days and make a kavachomer from tuma? Consider when it comes to tuma, we don't make the one who becomes tame, who makes a person tame, like the one who becomes tame, meaning, in other words, a nazir who becomes tame nesgat malchus. But what if somebody else walks over to the nazir and touches him with a piece of a mess? Nothing happens. The nazir becomes tame, of course, but he's not getting malchus for it. We did learn before that, if it was with the Nazir's permission, if he told the guy to do it or whatever, we have the case where he was inside the box and the other guy came and opened up the box with his consent or whatever, that's something else. But there, at least, we can say he gets Malkus because he actually went in there in the first place, and that's considered a Maisa. But let's say even, for example, if he's not standing in a cemetery, if he, let's say, tells somebody else, come on over here, touch me with that mess, the Pashas, he's not getting Malkus. There's no Maisa involved. All you could say is he said to do it, but we usually say we usually say that speaking is not considered a maisa. Sometimes we say akim asfasa rami maisa, but not always. So we see then that the one who becomes tame and the one who makes him tame are not treated the same. I'm saying the other way around. Let me rephrase that. What it means is, in other words, that. If the nazir becomes tame with his consent, he is getting malchus. So, for example, the guy broke open the box, or the guy touched him in a mess, or whatever. The point is, rather, that the person who does that is not getting malchus. We don't say, for example, the case where the nazir was in the box, and somebody opened up the box, that somebody is not getting malchus. The same way, for example, somebody walks over to the nazir pulls over somebody and says, come, touch me with that mess. And he does, the nazir is going to get malchus. The other guy will not. That's the point. So we see by tumah, then you have that leniency that even though the nazir is getting malchus for it, the other person who caused it to happen is not. And yet tumah is strong enough to make him lose all the days of nazirus until that point. So then let's make a kavachomer and say when it comes to shaving that. As we're going to learn further down on the Amud, the one who shaves a nazir is also over on a loisaseh. Unlike the tumah, where only the nazir himself becoming tameh is over on a loisaseh, when it comes to shaving, the one who shaves him is also over on a loisaseh.
That's in the middle of the nazirus.
In the middle of the nazirus, of course, yeah. So tzedgachas sh'asav megaleach kimisgaleach, where the one who shaves him is just as guilty of violating a loisaseh as the one who becomes shaved, as the nazir himself. So eina din shetister esakol. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that tzedgachas should cause him to lose all the nazirus? Again, the kavachomer goes that tumah, we're saying, makes him lose everything. On the other hand, tumah has a leniency that if somebody else is metame and nazir, then that somebody else is not getting malchus. Yeah, I started saying it wrongly before, but that's what it means. In other words, that the one who makes him tame is not chayiv malchus. So when it comes to shaving, if somebody shaves a nazir, he's going to be chayiv malchus. So why shouldn't we say that shaving is strong enough to make the nazir lose his nazirus? All of his nazirus. The answer is, again, the same pasuk that we just quoted when we tried to do the other kavachomer with wine. The pasuk says that earlier days fall away because his crown became tame. Again, implying tumah seseres sakol, ve'intiglacha seseres sakol. The same way, as we said that we learned from that wine doesn't make him lose days, the same way tiglachas doesn't make him lose days. It makes him lose some days, fine, but that's because of a practical reason, because he needs 30 days growth of hair, but not intrinsically that shaving makes him lose days. Okay. Again, now that we established that, now let's try the kavachomer backwards. The tumah nasim matame kimitame kavachomer mitiglachas. In that case, why don't we say by tumah that the one who makes the nazir tame should get malchus? So if somebody else breaks open the box, then not only the nazir should be getting malchus, but also the one who broke open the box.
With his permission, without his permission?
Yeah, well, if with the Nazir's permission, then both of them should be getting Malchus. If without his permission, then only the guy who broke should be getting it. And again, we would say Kavachomim with Tigarhas. So we should make a Kavachomim from shaving. Now that we just established that the Pasuk is telling us that Tiglachas doesn't lose everything, only he loses 30 days. And yet, as we're going to learn soon from a Pasuk, we say that the one who shaves him and the one who is being shaved are both over on a lav. So tuma she says sedesakol tuma, which is stronger, which causes them to lose all the days. Ain a din shenasim on the tame kim mitame. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that we make the tame, the one who's going to make him tame, like the mitame, like the one who becomes tame? Why shouldn't we say that the one who breaks open the box, or hands him the mess or whatever, is getting malchus? The answer is amakra b'tame roish nizrei. You can't say that because the pasuk says he makes tame the head of his nizirus, meaning lamitame roish nizrei, meaning that the concept the lab applies only to the one who mitame roish nizrei, who makes his head, who makes his crown of his head tame, not somebody else who does it. The tame, he becomes tame. So we see that the pasuk is being mamayit the one who made him tame. Only he himself, who caused the crown of his head to become tame, only he is over on this lav and is getting malchus. Again, if it happened, if it happened against his will, then he's not getting malchus. Obviously, we're talking for malchus as usual. The rest of the asura, okay. Next. Well then, why shouldn't we say now that when it comes to shaving, we should not say that the one who shaves him gets malchus? We would say kavachomer mituma. We would make again. Let's work the kavachomer from tuma backwards of what we're going to say. Uma tuma she says serasakol madach tuma, which causes them to lose everything. Loy osuba mitame kimitame. And yet we have the pasuk that we just quoted, betime rosh nizrei, that tells us that the one who is mitame him is not getting malchus. The one who breaks open the box is not getting malchus. Tiglachas, which is more lenient because it makes him lose only 30 days, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that the one who shaves him should not be over like the one who's being shaved? So if somebody else shaves a nazir, that somebody else should not be over on this lab? The answer is no. The pasuk says a razor should not pass over his head. Meaning, we can learn that the Pasuk is implying that he shouldn't allow it to pass himself, and somebody else should not pass it over him. So both of them. So the Rosh explains, in other words, the point is, the word lo yaver is implying, the word lo yaver itself implies that nothing should allow a razor to pass over his head. So whether he himself is doing it, whether he himself is having it done to him, either way it's equally included in the, it's equally well included in the pasuk. And there's different other explanations of how exactly we learn it. One of them is that since the pasuk says yavur, Rabbi Nahor explains that since the word yavur is written in the pasuk without the vav, then we're able, instead of putting a cholam on the vase, we're able to picture as though there was a chirit on the vase, and then it becomes yavir. So it's almost like a kriyuksiv, or we have in different places in Chas, yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemasoras. What's more important? Do we follow the lettering as it is in the Sefer Torah, and we can put various nekudas on it, or do we go according to the masoda of how it's to be read? Whatever the case, the point is that we see from that yes, it does apply to both of them. The Ravid, by the way, gives a logical reason, tackle why that should be. The reason is because when it comes to tumah, you don't necessarily need a second party. It's possible for a person to become tamei all by himself by walking into an oil mess or whatever. On the other hand, shaving necessarily is going to involve two people. It's kind of hard to shave yourself. So therefore, there's more reason to assume that the Torah meant to ask the one who's doing it as well. Okay. Next. So it becomes clear, therefore, that yes, even though tiglachas has a kula compared to tuma, namely that it doesn't make him lose all his days. On the other hand, based on this pasuk, it has a chumrah that the one who shaves him is also chayev malchus. Okay, next. The tiglachas loy tuta Miklala Kavachomim Yayin. Why are we saying in the Mishnah that shaving has an exception? Namely, we said by the shaving of a Metzora. And on the other hand, we said wine has no exceptions. So why shouldn't we say that Tiglachas does not have any exceptions and make a Kavachomim from wine? Umayayin chain is soser, madach wine, which doesn't make him lose any time at all, loy hutra miklolo, and we said that wine has no exception. Tiglachas chaseseres, the tiglachas which does cause him to lose a certain amount of time, up to 30 days. So ain't a din shaloy tutra miklolo, shouldn't it be a kavachoma then that shaving should have no exceptions? And the answer is no. Omakro roshay, but omakro is konoi. No, because since the pasuk mentions by Metzora that he has to shave his head, and it says that he has to shave his beard, and we had in the Udi or Sugya, we had the whole discussion of why it needs to say both of them. And the point is, in other words, that yes, by Metzora, we say that even though he's a nazir, nevertheless, he still shaves his head, even though usually that would be also for a nazir. So again, you have the two different times. You have the one when he first develops a nesek and the kohen has to check it, and then you have the one later on at the end of his tzaras. The point is that we see, since the pasuk mentions separately roshay and skanay, and we said you could have learned one of them from the other. Once it says that he should shave all his hair, it didn't have to mention roshay and skanay individually. And we had previously that we learned from that even though he's a metzora, and even though he's a nazir, even though he's a kohen, even though it's shaving his payas, even though it's shaving his beard, etc., we went through all of that. So therefore, yes, we learned from that that the haircut of a metzora does override the dinim of nazirus. Now, again, when it comes to the haircutting at the end, the Rambam explains the idea is that during the time of the tzaras, in effect, his nazirus is suspended. So therefore, in other words, you like this. In other words, the Rambam is bothered by the question, which we discussed a few days ago. The mitzvah for a metzora to shave at the end of his nazirus is a mitzvah saseh. For a nazir to not shave is an esseh and a lois esseh, is an esseh to keep his nazirus and a lois esseh to not shave. Since when is an esseh, doicha, a lois esseh, and an esseh? So we had before, Tosfos discussed that in fact this might be an exception to the rule, but the Rambam learns it's not really. During the time of his tzaras, his nazirus is in effect suspended. All you have, he doesn't have during that time the esseh of that he has to remain a nazir. All he has is a lois esseh that he's not allowed to shave. Well, then fine. Esther doicha lois esseh, as usual. Anyway, the point is that wine, we don't say that, because by wine, we don't have a pasuk to tell us that, but by shaving, we do have. Since it says roshay and skonay separately, then we see from that there is that exception. Okay. Next, for tiglachas lois sister klau kavachem yayin. Well, now, why don't we say that, actually, that's the next one. The tiglachas lois sister klau kavachomim yayin. Why don't we say that shaving should not make him lose any time at all and make a kavachomim from wine? Umay yayin shalai hutra miklaloi, madach wine, which is more stringent because there's no exceptions to it, ene soser, and yet we just said that it doesn't cause him to lose any days, because we learned before that only the timei rosh nizrei, only if he becomes tamei does he lose days, tiglachas shalhutra miklaloi, so then tiglachas, where we're saying we just established that we have a pasuk that implies that you haven't accepted it, ene din shalai tister, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that should not make him lose any days? Why is he losing 30 days? The answer is you're right. You don't have a pasuk for it, but the fact is you have to have enough hair has grown at the end of his nazirus for him to have a mitzvah of shaving it, and you're not going to have it if you don't have 30 days. So because of that, he has to add 30 days. By wine, you don't have that. Tosfos actually points out then, with the last two kavachomers, we could go further. For example, with the one that we tried to do, we said that tiglachas with this one kavachomer, when we say that tiglachas has an exception, we should say because you do it for a mitzvah, we should say it shouldn't lose any days. Why don't we say, well, you can show from tumah. Tumah has exceptions, we said, for a mes mitzvah, and yet it causes him to lose everything. So therefore, you could slog up the kavachomer that way without even needing a pasuk. Tumah, because Tumah makes him lose everything, but there's an exception for Mas Mitzvah.
He loses the Naziris?
Yeah, he has to start all over.
He can't, if he lost 7 days, he can't.
Yeah, forget about 7 days. One second. What we mean is like this. We're trying to make a kavah chomer. We're saying that that shaving shouldn't cause him to lose any days at all, and try to make a kavah chomer from wine. Well, why don't we answer that? So what are you saying? Wine, there's no exceptions. We're saying tiglachas and tumah have exceptions. So you're going to say because tiglachas has an exception, maybe therefore we should be more lenient and say that he should not lose any time at all. What do you mean? Tumah also has the same leniency. There's an exception by tumah as well, and yet he loses everything. So why should we think that there would be a kavah chomer from wine? And the answer is Tosfos says fine, but you could say tumah is obviously more stringent because it makes him lose everything. Tiglachas only makes him lose 30 days. The question is, why is it even making him lose 30 days? Why don't we use a kavah chomer from wine and say that he should lose nothing at all? And the answer is because practically speaking, you need 30 days growth of hair. Okay. One more. The yayin yister shloshim yayin kavah chomer mitiglachas. Why don't we say that drinking wine, on the contrary, should make him lose 30 days, make a kavah chomer the other way around from shaving? Madach shaving, which we just said, there's an exception by mitzvah, say seres, and yet it causes him to lose 30 days. Yayin shalom hutra mikvala, wine, which is more stringent because it has no exception, ain't a dinshi yister. Isn't it a kavachomer that it should cause him to lose days? And in fact, Tosfos says, what about, we said before, Tiglachas has another chumra in that the person who shaves the nazir is also chayiv malchus. Wine on the face of it doesn't have that. Tosfos says, okay, well, maybe we should include that in the kavah chomer as well. Maybe say wine should cause him to lose 30 days, and somebody who gives wine to a nazir should in fact be getting malchus for it. So the one answer is midi hu taima elam shum gidol seir. Look, the whole reason why tiglachas causes him to lose 30 days is because he has to regrow his hair. Gabayayin, apayim sire. When it comes to drinking wine, that doesn't affect his hair. Therefore, there's no reason that we should say that it should cause him to lose 30 days. And once we do that, then Tosfos adds, then you're right, there's no reason to apply the din of somebody else giving him wine either. Somebody else giving him wine is going to be over on the favor. But he's not going to be over on the mitzvah, on the isser of a nazir drinking wine because only by tiglachas do we say that, because of ka'al lo yavar arosha. Mind you, I mean, you know, it's still lifnei is still a pretty serious issue. You actually have a pasuk in the Navi almost says it's in Atorah of Vayeshev that Tashku was a nizirim yoyin. Hashem criticizes the people. You had nizirim among you and you made them drink wine. So you're being over on lifnei iver. You have Hashem gave you the opportunity to have holy people nizirim among you, and you're trying to make them transgress their mitzvahs. So.
What was the time?
Sometime during the time of the first place in Mikdash.
So Dafka making them?
Apparently. I mean, you could say it was maybe loved after they're forcing them, maybe they're just convincing them. It may not have been that widespread. It may have been one example, but Koy Sarim, Zelazar, whatever. The point is, we see that Hashem treats it seriously, but nevertheless, the person who does it is not actually Chayav Malchus.
Who gives him wine?
He's over on the face again. Okay. From here on till the end of the perek, we're going to be dealing with the procedures at the end of for a nazir. We've been talking about all this time that a nazir becomes tomei, then he brings certain karbonos, and when a nazir is finished as nazirus patara, then he brings certain karbonos. So now, from here till the end of the perek, we're going to deal with the ins and outs of those deals. So the Mishnah says, tiglachas tumah ketzan. How does the tiglachas tumah take place? The first thing is, he having become Tumah Mes, and as we've learned before, the concept only applies to Tumas Mes. It does not apply to other Tumas. If he becomes Tumah with a Sheretz or Ziva or whatever, then nothing happens. Those still count towards the Nazirus.
Oh, even those days?
Yeah, even those days. I mean, so we said, Saras causes the Nazirus to be suspended as long as he has Saras, but other kinds of Tumah don't even do that. I mean, take, for example, Hilmi Amalka, for example, with her 7 years of Nazirus. During those 7 years, obviously there were times when she was Tamei Nida. Nevertheless, it still counted towards her seven. If on the day that they're going to bring their korban, they're a Nida or a Zav or what have you, obviously they can't bring their korban. It's that day, but that's not really losing days of their Nazirus as a result of the Tumah per se. Anyway, so here we're talking Tumas Mes. By the way, in the next Peret, also we're going to talk about in some detail, even within Tumas Mes, not all kinds of Tumas Mes make the nazir lose his entire nazirus. There are some of them we're going to talk about, and we'll talk about over there that some of them maybe only did Rabbanon, where he only loses 7 days. He just needs the time to become Tohar, and then he can resume his nazirus. Anyway, So so he gets sprinkled with Torah Adumah water on the third day and the seventh day. That same seventh day, he shaves his hair. Or maybe Korban Noseh, when he brings his Korbanos he shaves his hair on the seventh day, and then he brings his Korbanos of Tumah on the next day, the eighth day. As we're going to work it out, and as we're going to work it out in the Gemara. The im gilach b'shmini. What if instead he shaved on the eighth day? What if he delayed his shaving by one day? Maybe korbanos boi b'yom give it Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva says that's fine. He can bring his korbanos on that same day. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. One day that he shaved. In other words, like this, it's supposed to be he shaves on the seventh and brings the korbanos on the eighth. But if he shaved on the eighth, then Rabbi Akiva says then he can also bring the korbanos on the eighth. But Reb Tarfon asked Reb Akiva, what's the difference between this and a Metzora? A Metzora also has to shave, and a Metzora also has to bring Korbanos. But the fact is, and Tosfos explains that actually Reb Tarfon says, I heard from you, Reb Akiva, yourself, that if the Metzora delays his shaving by one day, then he also has to delay his Korbanos by one day. So in the case of Metzora, whatever day he shaved, it's always the next day that he brings his korbanos. So why are you telling me by a Nozir Tomei that there can be a case where he shaves and brings his korbanos on the same day? Shouldn't it always be, like a Metzora, that the day he shaves is not the day he brings his korbanos, only the next day? Omalei, so Rabbi Akiva tells him there's a difference. Zeta rosit tzvuya v'yomav. The difference is that when it comes to the Nazir Tomei, his Tara depends on the dates. In other words, all he has to do is be sprinkled with Torah Adumah water on the third and seventh. The shaving is not part of his process of Tara. That's part of the process of the Nazirus. We have to untangle over here. In other words, consider the guy's in Nazir. He became Tomei. What happens? Now you have, let's consider, there's the aspect of what has to be done because he became Tomei, namely being sprinkled with Parah Adumah water. Once he's sprinkled with Parah Adumah water on the third and seventh and tovels, that's it. Tumah is over. Now we have the special dinim that applied to him as a Nazir, namely that he has to bring Korbanos. So therefore, there's no connection directly between one and the other, so it's perfectly possible for him to be shaving and bringing his Korbanos on the same day, because the shaving is not necessary for him to become Tahor. The Tara was accomplished just with the sprinkling on the Tovah. As opposed to the Metzora, his Tara depends on the shaving as well. The Metzora has a mitzvah to shave, and the shaving is part of the process of him becoming Tahor from his Tzaraas. So it's always going to be that he's going to bring the korbanos only the day after he shaves. So with the Metzora, he can only bring the korban only if he had a head of shemesh. Because in other words, the pasuk wants that he should be completely free of the tara of the Metzora. And the only thing that's left is that he's mechoser kapara before he brings his korbanos. So in other words, in effect, what Rabbi Akiva is explaining to Rabbi Tarfon is that a nozer is not really a mechoser kapara. The difference is, in other words, a Metzora is a mechoser kapara. A Metzora has numerous stages in his tara. From Tzaraas. He starts with first you have the whole thing with the birds and the water at the beginning of Parshas Metzora, never mind that. Then you have shaving, then you have waiting 7 days, then you have another shaving, and then he tovels and has head of Shemesh. Now at that point, still there's one more stage, he's a Mechusa Kapara, he has to bring his Korbanos. A Mechusa Kapara cannot bring the Korbanos on the same day that he toveled, or that he shaved and toveled because he needs head of Shemesh. On the other hand, with a nazir is not really a mechoser kapara. Once a nazir is like a regular tumah mess, once he's finished with tumas mess, then he's finished. The reason he has to bring korbanos and the reason he has to shave has to do with the special dinim of nazirus. So there's no reason he can't do that on the same day.
If something happens after that, he shows his 30 days already. He doesn't have to start all
over. He doesn't have to start all over after the 30 days, right. So there is a big difference, therefore, why it is that a Metzora and a Nazir should be different. Okay. So the Gemara asks, so, yeah. So the Gemara asks now. So we're saying that Rabbi Tarfon asked a question to Rabbi Akiva, and then we're saying Rabbi Akiva gave him an answer. The question is, Kiblo minei olai? Did Rabbi Tarfon accept that answer from Rabbi Akiva, and now Rabbi Tarfon holds differently than he did before, or did he not accept it, and he still holds that a nazir has to always bring his korbanos the day after he shaves? You could say, maybe, okay, Rabbi Akiva, you have a very nice, logical argument, but nevertheless, this is how I learned from my Rebbeim, that it should be different. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Jatoni Hillel. Hillel taught a Braisa. This is not Hillel Hazokin. This is an Amora by the name of Hillel. Here and there in the Gemara, you have mentioned Reb Hillel. It might be the same one, but whatever the case, the name Hillel tended to run in the family of Nisim, so it might have been, whatever the case. Anyway, he taught a Braisa. Gilach b'shmini may be kovenos of a tree. So Hillel's Braisa says that if the nozir shaved on the eighth day, he brings his korbanos on the ninth day. Now the fact is, this Braisa does not say the word nozir. So of course the Gemara could have easily answered this Braisa is talking about a mitzvah. However, Tosfos says the Gemara knew b'kabbalah that this Braisa is regarding a nozir. So therefore, and it says that if he shaved on the eighth, he brings his korbanos on the ninth. Now, if you're telling me that Rabbi Tarfon accepted Rabbi Akiva's argument, then he should be able to bring his korbanos on the eighth day. So, in other words, if you're going to say that Rabbi Tarfon changed his mind, then who would this braisa be like? It wouldn't be like Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't be like Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon would have changed his mind. If we have a braisa that still says that there's a case where he brings it the next day, that must mean that Rabbi Tarfon still stuck to his opinion. The Gemara answer is not necessarily Amar Rabba, Loi Kasha, no, because there's no contradiction. It depends. With the Mitzora, or with the Nazir, rather, are we talking about that he tovled on the seventh day, or are we talking about that he tovled on the eighth day? In other words, again, it's true that Nazir's shaving and bringing the korbanos are not part of his process of tahara, per se. Nevertheless, the fact is, the Torah doesn't want him bringing his korbanos unless he's not a tzvul yoyim anymore, unless he's had a head of shemesh. So if he only tovled on the eighth day, then he can't bring his korbanos on the eighth day. So if he had shaved and tovled on the seventh day, then fine, then he could bring his korbanos on the eighth. And if he had shaved, that's fine, everybody agrees with. If he had shaved and tovled on the eighth, then fine, you could say that he could, if he had tovled on the seventh after his last sprinkle of paradruma, and then the next day on the eighth shaved, then sure, he could bring his korbanos on that day. Because on that day, he's already not a tzvul yoyim anymore. But if he only tovled on the eighth, if he didn't get around to tovling until the eighth, the fact is, the whole eighth is still a tzvul yoyim. So therefore, then yes, the Braisa will be saying that he can bring korbanos only on the ninth. Hod lo tovel b'shvi, so the Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva is saying that he can bring the korbanos on the eighth, we'd be talking about where he tovled on the seventh day. So he went through like this. On the seventh, he was sprinkled with parah adumah water the second time. That same day he tovled. He didn't shave that day, even though the Mishnah is saying he should have shaved that day. He didn't. He only shaved the next day. So fine, Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, the shaving is not part of his process of tara, therefore he can bring his korbanos on that day. All he needs to make sure is he's not a tzvul yoyim. And he's not, because he tovled already yesterday. Therefore, he could be shaving and bringing the korbanos on the same day. The Braisa that Hillel quoted would be saying that if he had his last sprinkling on the seventh day, and then he had his shave, then he had his tvila on the eighth day, then you're right, he can't bring his korbanos on the eighth day because the eighth is still a tvila. Because the eighth is still a tvila, I mean, he's head of shemesh. So therefore, necessity.
He went to the mikvah on the seventh.
He went to the mikvah on the eighth, we're talking about.
Oh.
He went to the mikvah on the eighth, therefore he can only bring the korbanos on the ninth. So therefore, you could still say that the Braisa is telling us Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and maybe Rabbi Tarfon ended up agreeing with Rabbi Akiva. You can't really show one way or the other. So the Gemara continues. Omer Abaya, Ashkachtinu l'chavre de Rabbi Nosson bar Hoshea. I found the chaverim of Rav Nosson bar Hoshea, the Yastvin, the Ka'amrin. They were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they were saying the following din. Now we have a pasuk that says, regarding the Mitzora, it says, it says in connection with a Zol. So we're going to be talking about basically the topic of is a order cases where it's like this. We have like this. A tvul yoim. So you can have like this. A tvul yoim is not necessarily a mechusar kapara. You can have. Let's talk about a zav. Let's digress from mitzora and nazir and all of that and talk about a zav. A zav goes through stages. You can have where a person is a zav in the say he's had two times ziva. He's matam and nishka of Moshe of everything. All the dinim of a zav applies to him, but he does not need a korban. All he needs at the end, he needs 7 clean days, dip in the mikveh, head of shemesh, and then that's it. He doesn't need any korban.
No sprinkling,
no nothing. All, and he doesn't need a korban. If he's a zav 3 times, then he needs a korban as well. So now, if he's a zav 3 times, he's a mechusar kapara. And a mechusar kapara, we know, cannot enter the azara. The question is going to be, if he only is a tvul yoim and not a mechusar kapara, namely a 2 times zav who's toivled, can he go into machna levia? Can he go into the harabas? Normally, a zav has to stay outside of the harabas, but it's a different act when he's a tvul yoim. And this is going to relate, we're going to relate that back to what we were talking about as far as the nazir and the tameh of our mission. So the Yasmin Kham, and they were sitting and saying, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says regarding the Zav who does have to bring a korban. So it says he has to wait 7 days, he has to toivel, and then on the 8th day he brings 2 birds, he comes before Hashem to the door of the Oyel Moed, on the son of Alakoyan, and he brings them to the Koyan, and the Koyan brings them as one chatas and one osham, one chatas and one oila on his behalf. So Braisa says, Amasaihu ba, when can he come to bring those korbanos? Only if he tobled and had head of Shemesh. So he tobled on the 7th day and had head of Shemesh. Only then can he come on the 8th day with his korbanos. Only then, yes. Loi tobled also head of Shemesh, loi. But if he did not tobled and had a head of Shemesh, then he cannot come to the door of the Azar. So these chaverim of Reb Nosson Bar Hoshea wanted to learn from that. Alma kasavot, tvul yoim shel zav kezav dam. So they said, you see from that, that since the Braisa is saying that he has to have Tzvila and head of Shemesh, implying if he only did Tzvila, it's not enough. So therefore, that would teach us that if he only did Tzvila and did not yet have head of Shemesh, he's still a Tzvul Yoyim, he's still considered like a Zav, and therefore that he's not even allowed to go into Machna Leviyah. He's not even allowed to go into the Harabais. So we see from that, in other words, So now the Pasuk is talking about a Zav who has to bring a korban, but they wanted to derive from that. The same way, though, since we're mentioning that he has to have Tzvila and head of Shemesh, so the implication is any kind of Zav, even a 2-time Zav, needs to have head of Shemesh, otherwise he cannot enter the Harabais. So they wanted to learn that way. So Abaya says to them, Elameata. By that logic, if you're going to tell me that a Tvul Yoim is always considered like the original Tome he had, Gabi Nozir Tome Nami, then what about a Nozir Tome? Nami Dichtiv, Behavi Osim Alakoin on Pesachoyo mode, or the actual Loshan Apostle is Yobi Shte Sodom Ashnebine Yona on Pesachoyo mode, whatever, that a Nozir Tome has to bring his Korbanos. You could argue the same thing, Amosai was Huba, so you would say, when can he come with his Korbanos? This man should toggle but also head of Shemesh, only if he toggled and did head of Shemesh, but Abaya says that doesn't seem to work. Mechdi, Sharin Mikinor Hecha Kainim Bashar Levia. Let's consider, where are the Shari Nicanor, the gate of Nicanor, which opens into the Azara? Those are located in the area of Machna Leviyah, because on a Daraisa level, at least, what you have is like this. You have the Harabais. Inside of the Harabais, you have the Ezra Noshim, and the next day, the Ezra Yisrael. Midaraisa, the Ezra Noshim, does not have any greater Kedusha than the rest of the Harabais. It's all considered part of Machna Leviyah. Up to and including Shari Nikonor is Daraisa, all the same level of Kedusha. Midrabanan, there are different levels over there. But here we're talking according to the Pesukim, so we're talking Daraisa. So up till there it was considered Machna Leviyah. So therefore, so Abaya says, Vahatanya, now we learn in a Braisa. Tomei Mess Mutar Likonis Machna Leviya. A Tomei Mess is allowed to go into the Machna Leviya, but like Tomei Mess Belvad El Afilam Mess Atzmai, not only a Tomei Mess is allowed to go in there, even the mess himself is allowed to go into Machna Leviya. Shenemar, as we see in the Pasuk, it says, by Yikach Moshe as Atzmos Yosef Imo, it says that Moshe took Yosef's bones with him, out of when they went out of Mitzrayim, and my Imo b'mechitzasa, Imo b'machna Leviya. Now, where did Moshe live once they set up the Machnas? He lived in Machna Leviya. You have the Leviyim camped around the Mishkan. Moshe and Aaron and his sons were on the east side, and the three families of Leviyim, Gershon, Pas, and Merari were on the other side. And if we're saying that he took Yosef's bones with him, that means he kept them with him wherever he went in the Machna. So not wherever he went, wherever he stayed in the Machna. So if he stayed in Machna Leviya, then the bones of Yosef were staying there as well. So we see from that, therefore, says, what do we see? In other words, Abaya is saying, you, the Chaverim of Rav Nosson Bar Hoshea, want to argue that across the board, a Tevul Yoim is always considered to have the same stringency as the original Tumah that he had as far as going into the Azov. The problem with that is, by a Zav, that can work. Because a Zav is a, by a Zav, you could say, fine, he's also to go into Machna Leviya, and you could argue as a Tevul Yoim from Zivos, he's also to go into Machna Leviya. But what about with a Nazir? All he had was Tumas Mess. To begin with, he's never restricted as a Tumas Mess from going into Machna Leviya anyway. All he's restricted as a Tumas Mess from going into is the Ezra Yisrael, is Machna Shechina. Well then, why is the Pasuk implying that if he's only a Tevul Yoim, he can't bring his Korbanos? Even if he hadn't toiled at all, he'd be able to go up to Shari Nikoner and go to the Koyin and hand him the Korbanos by Shari Nikoner. So your whole limud, he's telling them, doesn't seem to work out. Or at least when you're saying, at least your limud that you're saying that across the board, this is the case, it doesn't seem to work. Elo, I'm gonna buy a Tvul Yoim Shal Zav Kazav Dami. Rather, Abaya says, here's how we're gonna have to say. The Tvul Yoim of a Zav is in fact like a Zog. Now, Tosfos has the Gersa, Lav Kizog, Domi. Tosfos has the Gersa that Abaya is saying that in fact, no, we're not going to say, like, you Chaverim of Rav Nosson Bar Hoshea, we are in fact going to say that a Tzvul Yoim of a Zog is not considered like a Zog. Now the Mefarish, who has the words Kazav Dami, he explained that this is Rav Nosson Bar Hoshea's friends are answering Abaya and defending their original position. That we can find a way to defend our position and you don't have a question because there's a difference between a Zav versus there's a difference between a regular Tomei Mess versus a Nazir who was Tomei Mess. As we're going to say. But according to Tosfos, rather, this is Abaya himself answering and saying that, you know what, I'm going to explain to you that, in fact, the Azov's Tzvul Yoim is not like a Zav, and the reason why the Pasuk is implying that what the Pasuk that you brought, that he can't bring his Korbanos until he has head of Shemesh, is for a different reason, because it's a Mechusa Kapara. So, Elo Amar Abaya, Tzvul Yoim Shal Zav, Lav Kezav Dami, Ba'afilo Hochi, Kivin the Mechusa Kapara, Loi Ayo. Nevertheless, since he's a Mechusa Kapara, he cannot go in. In other words, the problem is not that he doesn't have head of Shemesh. The problem is that in addition, a Zav with three times also has to have a Korban. So the Eva Machn Leviya Koi. So you have to ask. Anyway, if the guy is standing in Shar Nikoner, which is part of Machn Leviya, we just said, Amai Pekori Le Oyho Moyed, why is the Pasuk calling it the door of the Oyho Moyed, where the Oyho Moyed is obviously in Machna Shechina? Lememra, Ma Hosa Mechusa Kapara Le Ayil, it must be coming to tell us that just like a Mechusa Kapara cannot go into the Oyho Moyed, and that's obvious, a Mechusa Kapara can't go into Machna Shechina, after Machna Leviya Nami Mechusa Kapara Le Ayil, therefore the Pasuk is implying that the Mechusa Kapara can also not go into Machna Leviya. So you're right. If it was just a matter of Tzvul Yoim, so again, according to the Gersa of Tosfos, Abaya is telling them, you're thinking that all Tzvul Yoim are the same. No, there's a difference whether the guy is a Tzvul Yoim and Mechusa Kapara or only a Tzvul Yoim. If he was only a Tzvul Yoim, namely a two-time Zav, where he doesn't bring a Korban, then in fact there would be no problem with him going into Machna Levia once he had once he toiled, even though he doesn't have yet hasn't yet had a head of Shemesh. Normally, Midrabanan is still going to be also too. There are certain cases that the scribes in Masechta Pesachim, for example, we make an exception to the rule. When Esther, yes, when Korban Pesach, for example, we make an exception to the rule, right? But when he's a Mechusar Kapara, then Abaya is telling him that's different. So the pasuk that you were bringing in connection with Azov is talking about a Mechusar Kapara. That is why he can't come to Pesach Oyo Moed. That is why he can't come to Shara Nikon or to bring his Korbanos until he has head of Shemesh. Because when he's Tzvul Yom, he's lacking two things, head of Shemesh and Mechusar Kapara, and that's enough to keep him out of Machna Levia. But it's different when there's no Mechusar Kapara involved. According to the Mefarish's Gir said, this is rather Rav Nosson Bar Oshia's friends answering Abaya and telling him there's a difference. A Nazir who has to bring a korban, to a certain extent, he is considered a Mechusar Kapara. It's true that his Kapara is not really part of his Tumah process per se, it's part of the Nazirus process. Nevertheless, he's still considered to a certain extent a Mechusar Kapara, and therefore that would be a reason why so even though normally a Tmei Mes would be able to go into Machna Levia and go all the way up to Shana Nikonar, but a Nazir who has yet to bring Korbanus cannot, he has to Tovo and have Hair of Shemesh first. Which is why we said before, therefore, that if he only Tovo on the eighth day, then he can only bring his Korbanus on the ninth day. Yeah. So the Gemara says v'hosam min nolon. Okay, well then where do we get that a mechusar kapara can't go into Machna Shechina? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says about a tomei mess. It says tomei yiyeh. It says he will be tomei. What does that mean? The rabbis tzvul yom. Where that means to include also a tzvul yom who's not allowed to go into the mishnah. And oid to mosay boy. When the pasuk continues, his tumah is still in him. That comes to teach us the rabbis mechusar kapara. That it also comes to include a mechusar kapara that he can't go into Machna Shechina. He can't go into the azori. Tosfos and the Rosh point out that there, now we're not going to say, again, according to their Girsa, that this was Abaya's answer. In fact, the Nazir Tomei, who's a Mechusar Kapara, even if we consider him a Mechusar Kapara, fine, he will be able to go to Shaul Nikonor with his Korbanos because the Tomei at least didn't come out of himself. When we say over here that he's also, we just said a Tomei Mess is allowed to go into Machna Levia. Certainly a Tzvul Yoim of Tomei Mess is. What we mean is, in other words, on the other hand, when you have a Tzvul Yoim, where the Tumah came out of his own body, a Zav, a Metzora, etc., then we're saying that a Tzvul Yoim and a Mechusar Kippurim, neither one of them can go into Machna Shechina. Both of them have to wait until they have head of Shemesh. Then at least they can go into Machna Levia and bring their korbanos. And even then, they stand in Shaul Nikonor, and the Kohen brings the Korbanos on their behalf, and only once the Korbanos are done, then they can come into the Azar.
But for the Tzvul Yom, when does the Tumah go away? After Erev Shemesh or after the Mikveh?
So once a person was Tomei and then Tovels, now his Tumah is weaker than it was before. Now he's called the Tzvul Yom. So a Tzvul Yom has a weaker degree of Tumah than the original for many purposes. For example, a Zav, until he Tovels, still, anything he sits on or whatever is going to become Tomei. Once he toivels, that's no longer the case. But he's still a Tzvul Yoim. We're saying in our sugi, he's still also to enter into Machna Shechina and in certain cases of Tumah, even Machna, and certain cases of Tumah, like Zob or whatever, even Machna Levia. And he still can't eat Tumah, he can't eat Kodshim, he can't eat either. The only thing he can eat now that he couldn't before is Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni would be allowed to eat as a Tzvul Yoim. What?
But why if his tumor is gone, why can he cannot eat tumor?
Because he still needs head of Shemesh. Only when there's head of Shemesh, only then does the tumor of the Tzvul Yom completely go away. That's the pasuk says, "Uvah Shemesh v'tar va'achal yoichem anakodshi." So only once the sun goes down, only then he becomes able to eat from Kodshim. We look back in Yevamos, we had a whole sugya about that. The very first sugya in Shas and Brachas talks about that. You know, we have the first Mishnah over there says Mishar Shakoni Mechnasim Lachol B'Tirmasan, and then we discuss the Adseikar Shmur Rishoni. Yeah, so we learn from that. We discussed over there the point that a Kohen cannot eat Truma. If a Kohen was Tommy, he cannot eat Truma until he has head of Shemesh. Yeah.
So in that situation, then he shouldn't be able to go to the mikveh before Erev Shemesh. He should be able to go to the mikveh only after the sun has set.
No, most Tmeim can Tovel during the day, and then they have the residual Tuma of a Tzibul Yom, and then they have Hayav Shemesh. The only Tmeim that have to Tovel by night are only a Nida and a woman who gave birth. There you have, the Gemara learns from Sukkim that they adapt after Tovel by night. And then, of course, as far as Hayav Shemesh, their Hayav Shemesh is only going to be the following night. So Nida, for example, I don't love to talk on a Daraisa level, leaving aside how we do things nowadays, which is completely different, but a Nida Daraisa, she, let's say, she became a Nida on Sunday. She has to go to the mikvah, Motzei Shabbos. Her Hayav Shemesh is only going to be Sunday night. So only Monday morning. So only on Sunday, if she has a korban to bring, let's say, only Monday morning is she going to be able to bring that korban. As opposed to other Tmeim in that situation could conceivably Tovel on Shabbos. Okay, Rabbanan, you can't Tovel on Shabbos, but let's not get into that. But whatever, they can Tovel on Shabbos, and their Hayav Shemesh will be Motzei Shabbos. And then right away they can eat Truma, and if they have a korban to bring, they can bring it Sunday morning.
They eat Truma and then,
So you go through stages. A Tvul Yom, before they Tovel, they can't eat any Karchim. And depending on the degree of their Tumah, they're restricted from one or more of the Machnas. Some Tumim Mess from Machnas Shechina, Zol from Machnas Leviyah, etc. Once they Tovel, now their Tumah is weaker. They can eat Maisa Sheni. We're saying that certain kinds of Tvula Yom, in particular from Tumas Mess, can even go into Machnas Leviyah. Well, fine, even before that, they were able to go into Machnas Leviyah. But they can eat Maisa Sheni anyway. Then they have Hayav Shemesh. Now their Truma is even weaker. Now they can eat Truma and Kodshim. If they have a Korban, they can eat Truma. If they have a Korban to bring, if they're a Mechusa Kapara, then they have to wait until that Korban is brought, and then they can enter the Beis Mikdash, and then they can eat Kodshim, yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense? They travel during the day, and they have Hayav Shemesh that night.
Yes, so that's the question. Why do they travel during the day if they can still not come into the Beis HaMikdash? Why they don't travel?
The tevila helps weaken their tumah. Now they can now eat Maisa Sheni. And once they have Hayav Shemesh after the tevila, then their tumah will be still weaker. And if they're not a Mechusa Kapara, then at that point they can enter the Beis HaMikdash as well. Only if they're a Mechusa Kapara do they have to wait for that. But yeah, if they were to wait to travel until the night, again, they wouldn't have their Hayav Shemesh until the following night.
If they waited to have Erev Shemesh, then they wouldn't be able to Tovel until the next night?
No, just the opposite. If they Tovel by night, then the head of Shemesh always has to be after Tovel. So if they Tovel by night, then their head of Shemesh is only going to be the following night. If they Tovel during the day, then they gain themselves a day. That's the line is, Mishosh HaKoinim Nifnosim Lechel B'Trumasim. The Koinim Tovel, Rashi explains over there at the beginning of Brachas, the Koinim usually Tovel as close as possible to Shkia, and that way, shortly after that, they have Hayav Shemesh, and now they can eat Truma. If they were to wait until nightfall to Tovel, then they'd have to wait until the following night for Hayav Shemesh. Hayav Shemesh always has to be after Tvila.
Why the first Hayav Shemesh wouldn't count if they Toveled after?
Because that doesn't work that way. Hayav Shemesh, by definition, has to be after Tvila.
Why? What does it say that?
That's Pasuk says. Uvah Hashemesh, the Pasuk says that you should rachatz b'sarim amoyim uvah Hashemesh v'tar. So it has to be in that order.
Yeah, but that should be for the first Erev Shemesh, not the second one.
What first and second? There's only one head of Shemesh. The head of Shemesh that he the head of Shemesh that Uvah Shemesh v'tar can only be after Rochatz b'sarei b'moyim. Otherwise, any head of Shemesh before that doesn't mean anything.
No, but you're saying that if he tovels,
if he tovels by night, he hasn't had a head of Shemesh before Tvila. Then he has a head of Shemesh.
Why not? Tvila.
Because he doesn't. Because there's no such thing as head of Shemesh before Tvila. It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Right.